Outlaws After Dark.
Wide open, clean, but somebody's gonna hit you with a bottle and bury you.
Yeah, it feels like somebody should be playing banjo the entire time.
Yeah. Around. Have you guys heard of Jub Jubs up in Reno? Holy shit, dude. It's like a third world country. It's like the greatest fucking dive bar in the world, dude. Oh my god.
Really?
Yeah. I literally was talking to this person, like you and I are talking. It's like two in the morning, and she just literally like falls over. Like awkward silence. Like, anyway, so that was a great fucking set. That was a great. We all thought she was dead, dude.
Gotta love those ones.
I was up there with Dustin My Coffee, and we did a show at Davidson's Distillery.
Yeah.
And some guy threw a cigarette in our tip jar.
Oh, what a dick.
In a spittoon. He thought he was being cool, but he was fucked up.
Yeah.
And, dude, it just started on fire.
Oh,
dude. Yeah, dude. It was so funny. And it was the same show that, some girl was dancing on the stripper pole, and she went up to the top and fell. Busted her ass down.
Yeah. Terrible things just tend to happen at our shows. We were playing like a massive house party, and they had like this giant, like ornament, if you will. It was just a glass ball on the porch that we were playing on. And I pick up my bass like the third or fourth set and just fucking shatter the ball everywhere.
Just a couple months ago when I was playing Reno, there was a. Where the fuck were we? It didn't matter, but we're sitting there, and I step outside. And there's this, like, transient dude who, like, walks by me. And he looks at me and he goes, the last time I walked by here, there was a beautiful blonde with big tits sitting right there. You're ugly as fuck. I don't like you. I was like, welcome to Reno, folks.
Honest man. Yeah. Like, that man's like, I hope that big titty blonde's still sitting there.
He was so disappointed.
Oh, shit. There's a big titted blonde here last time. Dude, that's...
I was also this really fucking terrible story about Reno too. This we're playing Jub Jubs. It was like the first time I ever really. I think I've been to Reno and I'm playing right, and we're rocking out and I'm already a few shots in and I see these two smoking hot blondes like wearing a Matt W. Gage shirt and like both of them and I'm like, now my head is like not gonna fit through the door. I'm the coolest motherfucker ever, right? You know, I'm like this is no, and I'm taking more shots throughout the set, and. I'm thinking I'm just so fucking cool and these people are rocking out. And I get off stage and I'm obviously going to go talk to two smoking hot blondes wearing my shirt, right? I walk over there, two trannies wearing my shirt, bro. Oh, bro. Sobered me up in a heartbeat, bro.
You were like, hey, I'm like,
I guess I should have put on my beer goggles.
Hey, bro. God bless him, but I was like, God damn, I gotta stop drinking. This is fucking terrible.
We are in Reno.
You're like, shit, for a second, you still almost looked pretty. I need to sober up. That's right. I got a jug of water.
Oh my gosh. Well, welcome to Outlaws After Dark. We're here with Matt Gage. We're here to talk about Reno, a bunch of other shit. We got Shawnee and Shelby in here also tonight. Dude, thank you again for coming.
No, thanks for having me. This place is fucking rad, man.
Last show we came at with you and the Damn Liars, man. Mm-hmm. Dude, that show was killer.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Y'all smashed. Yeah. I was actually, we've had a few of the Peach City artists in here, and we'd like to promote them too. So, like, dude, would you mind going into a little bit of your experience over there when you recorded your 1-4-5 sessions?
Down in the East Bay?
Is that where it was?
Yeah, I recorded.
Dude, I thought that was done with Chuck's studio.
No. Chuck recorded with me though. All the time. We had the same producer, but no, we recorded down in the East Bay, down in Berkeley.
Well, I officially look like an idiot. I thought it was related.
Nah. I think I'm might be the only country guy to ever record in Berkeley, though. That's my only fucking thing.
Well, how did that go then? Either way, I'm even more intrigued.
I bet they were thrilled to have you.
Yeah. It was cool, man. Like, we, I don't know what happened. I played this acoustic show with a guy named Jake D from the Lonely Kings, a popular 90s punk band, and still around. And he was cutting my hair, and he invited me to a couple shows, and it was all acoustic stuff at the time. And he said, hey, I know this producer down at Berkeley named Michael Rosen. And Michael Rosen did, like, the Rancid album.
Yeah, Green I'm familiar.
Day, all that shit, right? And Jake had just happened to see Michael, and Michael said off the cuff, like, something like, hey, I kind of want to do a country album. he had never done that. So Jake, we had a couple of demos and we sent them to him, and now grace of God, he said he liked them and went down there and cut them, and it was fantastic.
Wow, yeah. Dude, that's amazing.
It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, that is.
That was the one that I don't know if you like, Lars Friedrich said, or Matt Freeman from
my favorite all time musicians or any, yeah.
That's his idols.
Yeah, the coolest guys in the world.
The only people in the world I would ever like fangirl out. Yeah. Like, I cannot talk to you right now, sir.
The one thing I'll take to my grave, Brian, like, I think I'm the only country music artist that ever had those guys play on their stuff so far. And I really, they're my heroes too, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in awe of that, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah, really phenomenal. Cool.
It's a great bridge.
Yeah, because, I mean, especially when I went in with the mindset of making music from a punk view. I knew there would be Southern rock, there was rock and country. I didn't know a whole lot of punk influenced music, you know, and I wanted a high energy show, and I wanted it to be authentic, and I thought country music was authentic and punk is high energy, man. So it's kind of how kind of bridges it all together. Yeah,
that's so cool. Fucking, you've been doing it for a while too, because like I said, we were listening to your Truth album.
Yeah,
like I really like it.
Yeah, really. I have to be proud of that stuff, man.
Would you like to talk about your buddy a little bit? Talking about the inspiration for doing the cover,
Murphy's cover. Let's see if I can get the whole cap show. His name was Greg, and you ever just have one of those buddies where, like, he's the most squared away fucker in the world, and like you're the fuck up, and like every time you see him, you got a black eye, or you're missing a tooth, like, and he would always sit down to hear my stories or how fucking things were going on, and he would just laugh, and he would never judge me. It was always that guy who would give me inspiration to be better, but also no judgment. Like, and he loved me for that. And I don't even think he really understood the grasp of what music meant to me. But he was always at my shows. He was just there to be there, you know.
Yeah.
And the first one to kind of pat me on the back was Good, Bad, or Indifferent. And I fucking loved him for it. I fucking loved him. And then he was 38 or 39 years old, and he died real randomly, and his wife, and he had a beautiful family. It was just kind of heartbreaking. And and as a friend, you never know how to comfort, like, a widow. You know, you just don't know how to do that. I didn't have any life experience of that. And we reached out several times, and I was driving down the road, and his widow and wife called me and said, hey, there's a song I think of Greg every time. And it was Foggy Molly's If I Ever Leave This World Alive. And like I was telling you earlier, I pulled over and just had, like, chills, man. Like, I knew I had to, like, cover that song, you know? And I'm a big believer of, like, if you're going to cover someone else's music, that's cool, but you still got to make it your own. You still got to, like, put your own spin on it. And being the emotional story behind it, I thought, man, we'll go and then we'll make a tearjerker, slow fucking crowd. But no, we made it punk and said we're going to do it the right way. And we even took a couple lyrics out and changed some bridges around. I don't think Foggy Molly knows that, but it worked out well.
That's awesome.
It worked out well.
That's really cool.
It really is more of what the song means to you than how you're playing it for the audience.
Yeah.
And that's something we know full send. We love playing songs that mean something for us. We like playing for the audience, but we don't really care what they want. You know,
yep.
We know how that is. Yeah, some songs just have that emotional attachment.
And that song right there, I mean, I played that live several times, and his widow's been the kind when you sing, you know, I'm all right, I'm okay, you know, the line gets me every time around that bridge, man. So, yeah.
And you played that at the Folsom Hotel? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I caught a glimpse of the story on stage. I'm glad you went into it, man.
Yeah,
shout out to Greg.
Whenever I've only done three albums, but every one I decided I would do one cover, just because I personally fucking hate covers. I hate cover bands. I hate that they get paid more than we do. They get all the chicks. They get everything, man.
Yeah, for sure.
You show up to a venue and be like, I'm original music, and you get turned down.
And
it's an uphill battle, you know?
The whole way.
So when I still thought it was my own little punk way, I wanted to put a cover on there just to show you it could be different. So first album we did Folsom Blues, second one we did the Foggy Molly, and this last one we did Are You Sure Hank Done It This Way.
Yeah, so, which we had a real good energy to
it
too.
Yeah, I fucking love that song. Yeah.
That's cool knowing about the way you went to go to produce it, because that was the band backing too is really killer.
Yeah,
obviously, but like that makes a lot of sense.
Yep, totally.
Was it a lot of fun? Was it a cool studio experience?
No, it was fucking terrible. Like, it was good, but like I got my ass kicked every fucking day, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you're working with like fucking pros, you know, and they expect pros, and I wasn't a pro.
And they let you know it, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was no shortcuts, you know. I think I learned how to sing mostly cutting an album, to be honest with you. You know, I never had any fucking training or anything like that. Just got my ass kicked every time.
It's a good experience, though, dude.
That's awesome. A really cool way to put it.
Another story, we were recording the Truth album. There's a song on there called Same Old Story. And I'd written it, and I had the chorus and everything, and had a couple lines. And the producer and I are sitting there, and he's like, man, I'm just not feeling this. And he asked me, he's all, what does the song mean? And I sat there, and I'm all, I don't know. He goes, well, we're done. All right, pack this shit up. I ain't doing it if you don't even fucking know what the song means to you. And he sent me home. I had to drive from Berkeley to fucking Sacramento.
And that makes you think, dude.
Yeah, and we had all recorded the tracks, plugged it in, and I drove from Berkeley to Sacramento, and I thought of my mom who had passed away. I thought of life kicking in the balls, and trying to pick yourself up, you know, it's the same old story, but we're all reaching for the goal, you know. And they came back and said, okay, now I know what the song means, and we fucking recorded it.
So, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that is a pretty
no segment. It didn't feel good at the time.
Rarely does, huh?
Yeah.
That's a good experience, though. It's
holy crap.
It's a teachable moment.
It's a life-changing moment.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I just talked to this producer the other day. I was writing some stuff, and like, even, we have a great rapport. He's one of my close friends now, and I still don't fucking want to send him shit, because I know he's going to tear it apart, but I appreciate him for it.
Yeah.
You know? Yep.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you learn more from your failures than you do your successes.
Oh, absolutely, man. Anyone that's ever done accomplished anything has failed literally millions of times.
Yeah,
watch them and you go, wow, they do that really well. That's because they've done it not so well thousands of times.
Totally, totally. I mean, I don't think any musician, honestly, is ever going to tell you they didn't have a shitty show, or they didn't get fucking booed off, or they fucking sucked that night, you know?
Yeah.
But those are the ones you learn, and you say, I don't want to fucking feel that way again.
Fact.
Yeah.
What was your most memorable show memory of something like that?
Oh, yeah, where it just made you feel terrible.
Terrible?
Or maybe it wasn't a good fit for the venue, and you were like, fuck you. But, like, what's one of the funniest ones, I guess?
Might have been before your time, but do you remember the distillery downtown Sacramento? It was on 21st and L Street.
No, I never went.
And went in there. We're playing with Jason and the Punknecks. I don't know if you ever heard it, but he was there. And we were opening up, and I was playing with this drummer who, unfortunately, was a horrible alcoholic, just a horrific alcoholic. And his girlfriend had broke up with him that day. We made it through three songs, and they fucking pulled us. They fucking pulled the cord.
Ouch.
That's rough.
And we were done. They're just like, get the fuck out of our venue. And like they may have even thrown some of his drums out of the fucking venue.
Oh,
yeah. I'm hurting my heart to tell the story right now, you know?
Man.
I was so embarrassed, you know? And that was the moment where I realized, too, one, to be professional, you know, and this and that, but like it was my name, it wasn't the this or that, you know, it was the Matt W. Gage Band, and that's what they were. And a musician who had seen the show, there was a paper or an online thing come on and wrote an article about me, and he didn't know my name, thank God, but I read it.
Damn.
Yeah, and if I can still remember it. You know, I can still remember it.
Fuck, that's a rough one.
That's rough.
And that's a horrible part about working with other musicians that some people don't think about, is you will get blessed and you'll find those musicians who take it seriously, take the whatever objective of music you're working towards seriously, and then you have those who just show up, get tanked all the time. And they, like you said, if the band's in your name, that is every
100%. That was the biggest value I took away from
you
it.
You could be there without with yourself and without those other guys, and they're still not going to call you back because it's the same Matt Gage Band.
Yeah,
that's
totally,
a horrible
absolutely.
Thought.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm from that old school where if it's you read something with your name in it, it sucks, man. Like it's just like a punch in the face, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a lot of good memories too with that guy too.
Well, so how long have you been playing, like, all together?
I think probably about somewhere around 2000. I started out just playing acoustic songs from 2007 to about 2010.
What?
And that's when I really said, you know what, sinking some teeth into some things and finding musicians and this and that. And in that story before, that's when I learned that I wasn't going to play with anyone that just wasn't going to be that way or didn't know my music.
Yeah.
You know, that was it. Like, I spent my time and my heart in the studio. And if I was interviewing a player or someone, I thought he could be the most talented person. But if they would tell me, and this has been said several times, they're like, hey, that's a really cool song, but what I think I should do is da da da. And I'll be like, well, then no, you're not the guy, man. I want to hear what we recorded. Yeah, you know?
It's your music. It absolutely should be your way.
That's why what that producer said to you is just such key when it comes to music. You can make it and try to sound as cool as it wants, but it doesn't matter because that song is yours and it depends on what you want the song to turn out to
be. And that's the beautiful thing about music, because you could have the most talented drummer, the most talented guitarist or the bassist, but it's not about them or even about the lead singer. That's what comes together with music, man. That's the biggest blessing in the world, especially for someone that started out playing acoustic music, man. To have a band behind me and to hear my songs and to know it transformed it blows my mind to this day.
How long have you been with your band that you have now?
This has been probably about a year and a half. Yeah, maybe a little less. Yeah, it's always been kind of rotating, but I've been pretty particular.
How many of there are you?
It's a four-piece.
Okay.
Yeah, four-piece. Yeah.
So two guitars, bass, and drums.
My acoustic, lead guitar, bass, and drums.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't seen you play, but I'd love to come catch
you. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Do you have one coming up?
Yeah, nothing till this summer. Then we're going out to Reno, Utah, and Arizona, and then back here in July. Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
Hitting it hard.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty good one.
Sick, dude. Yeah. That'll be pretty cool. But yeah, touch back what you were saying. Like, when you're starting a band and stuff like that, at some point you're starting to make money, right?
So, yeah.
Like, you're running a business.
Yeah.
You got to be particular about your partners sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, it's very important because, like, what happens when you get your dreams and everything does work out? Is it all going to collapse when you get there, too? Like,
it's solid, man.
Like, it's crazy. Plus, it's got to be people you can hang out with.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Like,
It's hard if you can't go to Waffle House.
Or they're not going to have some bail money left for you or something like that, you know?
Plus, professional musicians know there's a ton to work and there's a ton
to absolutely.
Play, you know?
Yeah, like, I've seen some incredibly talented musicians that will never make it past their little pond. Yeah. You know, I've seen some professional musicians that play around the whole world, you know, that couldn't touch them.
Yeah, for sure, dude. We have an interesting situation because we grew up together, like, our music. So, like, we kind of curated it. But, like, in your sense, it's really cool that you know what you want.
I think so. You know, definitely.
It's a good value to have as an artist.
I mean, I just got blessed to have a great producer and play with someone like Chuck Bradley, man. Like, he's played on every fucking album that I've had, you know, and he's the first guy to be there, man. Fucking love that guy to death, man.
He's rad.
He's a great person and musician.
He is, man. Yeah. I mean, silly thing about Chuck was, I remember, of all things, I mean, I'm a big animal lover, and, like, I had a dog that got killed, the guy ran over, and Chuck was the first one to call me, yeah, and, like, you think that sounds kind of silly, you know, but, like, he knew what that meant to me, and he was the first one to fucking call me.
Yeah,
I could call him right now, and we could still talk about that dog, you know, he just got me,
That does not sound silly.
Yeah.
No, that's cool.
That's heartwarming.
He totally is that type of guy. I'll work in a shop sometimes in the rainy season, he lets me bring my dogs.
Oh, there you go.
Dude, they just get to run around like they own the place. He's so nice, dude.
Chuck, I was telling him a story one time. Like, this is a true story, and I've said this in the shows before. Like, I love to play Social D's Ball and Chain. That's my favorite song in the world. And it was because it was somewhere, God, I don't know, but I was married before, and I knew I was going to be a country music singer, man. I knew it because my wife left. The next day it was raining, and when she left, she took the dog.
Oh.
And I went out there, and I'm walking my sad, sorry self to my fucking truck, right? And I get in my truck, and the truck won't start. I'm like, the wife has left, the dog has left, it's raining, and now my truck won't start. And I'm like, this is meh. But you know how sometimes the truck won't start, but the battery will work? The radio came on, it was ball and chain. And I called that ex-wife back, and I said, hey, you can leave me do it, but bring my fucking dog back. And he came with me, and he lived a long life, and had him ever since.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's the one that got hit?
No. That was my wiener dog. Oh, he was a big, bad wiener dog.
Yeah. Yeah, they are, huh? Yeah. They're tough guys, they're sassy. Dude.
Yeah. To have a dog is, like, amazing. Anyway, he lived to 16 years. And to have that cool experience. That's but I was, like, time. 23 to 39. And he saw everything. I used to say, if he learns to talk, I'm going to jail. Like, he was fucking there, man. He saw it all.
Fuck.
I got a great story for you.
Yes. There we go.
It's cool in my own mind, as I like to say, and I'll be the first to brag all day long, that I got two members of Rancid to play my fucking album, right? Yeah. It makes me a fucking cool dude, right?
Yeah,
gives me some street fucking cred right away. But this is how it happened. Here's a goddamn honest story. We're in the studio, right? And Rancid was going to come in and record after us. And I'm sitting there, and the producer's like, yeah, Lars is going to be here in a little bit. And I'm like, can I hang out? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that'd be cool. So Lars walks in. It's just the producer and Lars and I. And Lars thinks that I'm a studio, like, helper. Like, he has no idea that I'm a musician, right? And he has these guitar strings. And he looks at Michael. He goes, hey, Michael, can this guy change strings? He's like, yeah, you can probably change strings. And he goes, good, change my strings. Right? And then Michael, the producer, goes, no, you asshole. He's a musician. He was just in here at recording. And Lars felt so fucking bad. He pulls me aside. He's like, dude, I'm so sorry. I would never act that way. I'm really sorry. I thought you were just, like, the helper for the day, right? And my bass player that day got high and never showed up for the studio. So I'm complaining to Lars. So Lars is already feeling fucking bad. Who do you think he calls? Hey, Matt Freeman, I'm down here. I already feel like shit. Why don't you come down here, dude?
George,
swear to God, dude.
That's amazing.
That's the only reason that they came down. They played on two songs.
Yeah. I bet it was. Dude, that's phenomenal.
All right.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah.
Jordan's mind is blown.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
What luck, dude.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he felt fucking bad.
You know, fun fact, I probably would have still changed his fucking
strings. That's what I say, dude. Yeah,
100%.
100%.
I'd be like, you still want me to change his strings?
I'm going to put them upside down, you asshole.
I'd be like, can I have the old ones after I change them to the new ones?
Yeah.
Well, it's also funny what a small world it is.
Totally,
that,
man.
That just happened. You know?
Yeah, dude, that's the universe.
But on a side note, that when Lars and I were talking, I think I fangirled out too, man. I said something like, hey, man, like, what do I do? And he gave me the best advice. He said, dude, you could be the most talented musician in the world and people may not ever hear you. Or you could be the shittiest and you might be the biggest Justin Bieber you've ever heard of. Just make music that you want to hear. Be a fan of your own fucking music. And I took that and ran with it. Eh? Like, there's not a bigger fan of Matt DiBiase music than Matt DiBiase. Trust me. Not in a weird way. I just fucking love it.
No, dude, that's amazing. Yeah.
That's a really good piece of advice.
Yeah.
That's a great way to be. If you can jam out and listen to your own songs, I think that's worth all the money.
Well, I'm sure you guys feel the same way to me, like, as I do. Like, when you write songs and then you go and you play them, it's like reading your favorite parts of your journal every night, man. It's like reading that part where something hit you, you know, where you know exactly where you were when that line came to you or something like that, you know?
They're customized for you. It's like your own stories.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing, dude.
And then especially with the band, it's fun to show off what you guys have been working on.
Yeah.
And like it's a little bit of show and tell. We do an open mic night in Auburn.
Yeah.
A lot of times, and it's like, I don't know, it's a cool hub of musicians, just like, and like, everybody's working on new shit, like, and it's cool to see how everybody paints different.
Totally, yeah, what's that, man?
Like,
what's that?
That's half the fun, is like, showing, like, I love coming in here when we're going to band practice and be like, hey guys, I just wrote the song.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
You know, that's half the fun for me.
Or if you can get out of your own way and you come up with what you think of the coolest fucking thing, but then Jake says, hey man, but if you try this, and then you're like, oh, that's it. You know, that's the greatest fucking feeling.
The missing note.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been a blessing from, like, being able to watch, like, all these great musicians around me, like Chuck, and we play with Beard Picker Nick.
He's a great player, man.
Yeah, like...
Nice fucking guy.
I've only been playing guitar for a couple years.
Really? No shit, dude.
But, like, I learned a lot from those guys.
Yeah.
He's learned pretty quick, too.
Yeah, fuck yeah, you are, dude. It's one of the videos and shit.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it's a community, man.
Yeah, totally, right?
That's what it's all about.
Yep.
What does your writing process look like? Like, do you have, like, if you had a day free and you're like, I'm going to fucking write a song, like, what?
You know, I think I do it fucking backwards, honestly, you know, because I'll hear something, and I generally start with a chorus. Like, I like to catch something, you know, and then build a story around it. Like, I heard an interview Mike Ness say, tell your story in the lyrics and tell the world's story in your chorus. You know, like Ball and Chain's a good example. That can mean 100 different things to 100 different people. But, you know, then you tell your own story in the lyrics and they piece it together, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's what.
That's an amazing way to look at it.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I never even thought about it like that.
Do you write in like a notepad?
I don't, man. I have a pretty good memory, and I never would write anything down, but now I just put on the iPhone, and I'll put some of the dude, you know?
Do you have kids?
I do. I just had a first son. Yeah.
Congratulations. Thank you. I tell him all the time, you guys really should at least take some of your favorite songs and handwrite them in a notebook, because your kids will appreciate
it. That's a great idea.
Having your handwriting one day, or if they want to get a tattoo of your handwriting. Yeah, I lost my dad, so I'm like... You guys should do that.
Yeah. I always thought that I love when people get a tattoo of a signature or something.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Especially song lyrics are really important because your kids are going to grow up and listen to them.
Agreed.
On the same note, I always tell these guys that they're screwed if I ever die because they'll never be able to read my handwriting.
I'd rather not be able to read your handwriting than not know what your handwriting looks like.
That's true.
What's your favorite and least favorite tattoo?
Oh man, my least favorite was my very first one. Country Kid, you're a Country Kid, right?
Yeah.
We all heard Hank's song, you know, Country Boy Can't Survive, right? CBCS.
Yeah. Naturally.
Fucking motto to live by, right?
Yep.
So I'm like, that's my first fucking tattoo. I get that right
there. Yeah.
CBCS, Country Boy Can't Survive, right? Which I felt like a badass, right? I'm sitting there.
You probably work for your time too.
My buddy's sitting there close to the eye. He sits through the whole fucking tattoo. He's like, gets there, which took like 10 minutes. Right? He's watching it. So CBCS, is it all done? Yeah, I'm like, yeah, it's fucking done. Pretty badass. Right? He's like, yep. Can't beat cocksucking. Cool tattoo.
Oh, no.
So there you go, man.
Never can forget.
Never can forget.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's rough.
What's your least favorite?
Probably my toe knuckles.
Oof.
I mean, yeah, the wedding ring sucks too, but... Oh, my ass tattoo?
No, it's ass tattoo.
No,
great.
I love my ass tattoo.
What is
it? It says tattoos are trashy.
In the worst handwriting ever.
Well, yeah, my buddy did
plastered
it.
Plastered right on his butt
love
cheek.
It. Love it. Dude.
It looks like prison ink without skill.
I love it, dude. I love it.
And I got FBGM across my toe knuckles for fuck bitches get money. I was really into Lil Wayne.
Yeah, I love it.
I was not proud about that.
His foot used to say fuck bitches, and then he had a son, and like eventually Bubba started reading, obviously. So he's like, I can't let my kid read this. I'm going to cover it up.
Yeah.
So he covers it up, and he's like, that hurt so bad, I'm not going to cover up the other one. So his other foot just says fuck. And then the other one has a picture. Just fuck.
She's not directed at anything. But I had a buddy who got Get Money on his feet, and we never stood next to each other, but that one time.
Yeah, the one time you did. That was pretty cool.
You probably have a picture somewhere, babe, so it happened.
Unfortunately, that was the first time I went viral. It was in like 2009, maybe like 11. There's like, was it like the Tumblr or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Somebody
right,
posted a picture on Tumblr and fucking dude, it had like thousands of comments talking shit about our feet and how bad they look.
Oh, I'm sure, especially because you guys posted boy feet. Like, what?
It was just our feet. And it was talking about how nasty our hobbit feet look. There's like blood everywhere and ink. And I just go to work the next day and it was like, dude, I saw your tattoo on Tumblr today.
No one's not going to know that's you, too.
Everybody
knew anyways.
They're like, how's your feet filling those boots though, bud?
Dude, it sucked. Oh, bad. It was steel toe boots, so they were rubbing up against it.
Bro.
He's like, fuck bitches. get money.
Yeah, I think that one we did. The ass tattoo, the feet, and then I did this little teardrop right here.
Solid.
And I was so hungover the next day, and I went to take a bath, but everything hurt. I never
regretted. Yeah, I hurt from head to toe.
I don't think I'd ever regretted it, and I was so bad. I just sat there and looked at my feet with fuck bitches in
them. You're like, how did
why?
Your teardrop's my least favorite, because every time we argue or get in a disagreement, he goes...
Oh, well
and
played,
puts
bro.
His mirror up too, and I'm like, I really am angry now.
Fuck. Did you get all your ink locally, or like if you traveled around?
I was in Texas a little bit. I was dating an artist at the time, but also somewhere in Sacramento. Leonardi's tattoo off of Auburn Boulevard. She's great.
I've heard of it.
Okay. What took you to Texas?
Playing music at the time. Yeah, went out to San Antonio. Had a good time, man.
How was that? What years?
That was 2013 to 2014. Okay. Yeah, it was short lived, but it was fun. Yeah.
How was it? Did you go during the summer? Or was it the whole year?
That was the whole year.
Damn. Yeah.
Did you work and play music, or was that your main gig?
No, it was just the music one. Yeah.
How was that?
That's awesome. Dude.
I was hungry.
Was it rough?
I was hungry.
Yeah,
but a lot of gigs.
Yeah. Learned I wasn't as good as I thought I was. Yeah.
Big cities will do that. Huh?
Yeah.
Freaking, that's what I always think about, like, Austin's, like, popping right now.
Yeah.
I'd love to go play in Austin, but I'm like, man, there's a lot of good players in Austin. Dude, there's a lot of good players in Northern California.
Yeah.
In the whole country, like, Northern California is holding its own recently.
Sacramento is holding its own.
Yeah.
Since Los Angeles, fucking.
Yeah, it took a shit. Always, when people always ask that question of, like, if you could live any era in time, or what would it be? Hands down, man. Put me in an Austin bar in, like, 1977 with, like, William Wayland.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, dude. That would have been fucking incredible, man.
I want to play I wish the old quarter was still alive. But, yeah. Like, that was, like, my... I don't know if you're a Towns Van Zandt fan.
I love Towns Van Zandt.
Yeah, dude, the old quarter... Live at the old quarter album got me through some really hard times.
Yeah, we all got our time, man.
Dude.
Who's some of your favorite musicians, man? Like, was it Towns? Or
Towns, yeah. A lot, and Yellow Wolf. I love Yellow Wolf. And obviously Hank 3. I really like Hank 3
Such
a lot.
Such different ends of the spectrum. It's so great. I love Towns and Yellow Wolf.
Yeah, right.
And then my mom was a huge Garth Brooks fan growing up, so like the 90s country era just like speaks to my soul.
Yeah, poor Garth, man. Like, I want to always fucking like, always think like, how does Garth not have that fucking dude buddy who just tells him, hey, bro, man up a little bit. Like, just fucking, little bit. Like, you know, because you're like, you can't say Garth isn't a badass because he is, but you want to be like, Garth, don't go on Ellen.
Yeah.
Don't cry while on Ellen. You know, that. You know, like,
be a badass.
Yeah.
Release your music to the public.
If I was a
release your music to the public.
If I was a Garth's like producer or something, I'd be like, this is what we're gonna do. You're gonna go around the country. You're gonna do cocaine and heroin and hookers, and then we're gonna come back and write a song. That's what you're gonna do. Yeah. That
you need the heroin to sleep.
Yeah,
sure. Cocaine do shows. Dude, but his old show videos were awesome.
Oh, like, no one was doing that.
Pyrotechnics.
Yeah.
He said those shirts.
He said he straight ripped off Chris Ledoux. And you go back and watch Chris Ledoux shows, man, and they were also fucking rocking, you know? He combined Chris Ledoux and Kiss. That was his fucking... MO. Now you look back and you're like, oh yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, because I saw a couple of videos of Chris Ledoux. He had the bucking bowl on stage and shit, or the mechanical bowl.
Right. And you go back to hear some of his like distorted riffs. No one was doing that. No one, man. Yeah.
Especially in that rodeo circuit. Yeah. He Dude, I don't know much about that area, but he brought a lot to it. He brought it to light, kind of, huh?
He really did, yeah.
He was a man.
Yeah, Towns is the man, too, though, man.
He really was. He was in regard... the beautiful thing about Townsend, he was a poet.
Oh,
he
totally.
Regarded himself as a poet, and most poets don't get their... No. They're just desserts until they're dead, so he lived a poet's life.
Yeah. Towns should have been and should be bigger than he is.
Oh, yeah.
He's the only one that I know of, though, is like that folk. Well, I don't know. John Prine's getting bigger, but like Towns has been like trucking. Like his fan base has been getting huge over the last 10 years.
You think of like Steve Earle, though. I mean, he was like his protege. You know, like Steve Earle famously said, like Towns Van Zandt was the best and worst thing that ever happened to me because he got into heroin, he got into some bad shit. But he was also like his father figure, you know? Yeah. So Steve Earle's a badass, man.
He really is. Yeah. I really wish I could have saw Justin, too, before he passed.
Yeah, like, man. Some great shit, man.
Amazing artist.
Yeah. What is that song?
Yeah, I'm thinking the same one.
The River. South Harlem Blues.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Great song. Uh-huh.
See, you're talking about that. The albums that got me through, it was like, I grew up like a Willie and Waylon, the Highwaymen, all that shit, you know, those were my jams, and I fucking loved Waylon. I got my Waylon tattoo, you know, that was my shit, you know?
Yeah.
So when Shooter came out, that was, like, it was like Waylon Jennings met, like Led Zeppelin to me. That was, like, stoner fucking, like, country music, and that was fucking greatest thing that, and so it was, like, Shooter and Jackson Taylor, those were my dudes, man. Those were fucking, had a little, just... dirt to him, you know.
Yeah,
my favorite thing ever was I saw Shooter Jennings live in Salt Lake, and he put on this incredible show, and then he came out on an encore and did Are You Sure Hank Done It This Way, and they did this fucking like Metallica version, and it was all because of the drummer at the time was a guy named Brian Keeley, and he's hitting the toms just boom boom, it melted my face, right? Fast forward to, I started playing, I always tried to cover that song, and then had a two-night gig up in Reading at Silverthorn, and a drummer had dropped out, and I somehow was in connection with Brian Keeley, Shooter's drummer. I hit him up, and I was like, hey, dude, what do you think about coming out here? And he fucking did. He came out there, and he played. So I'm sitting here almost 10 years later, and I'm like, go to play. Are you sure I ain't done this way? I look back, here's Brian Keeley on the drums playing this. I was the fucking greatest moment of my life, dude. Greatest moment of my life.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
That was unreal. That was one of the reasons we recorded Are You Sure Hank Down This Way, too. The song meant so much to me, man.
Yeah.
And music just makes connections. That's one of the things it does. It's one of the blessings it gives. It's just the people you know is amazing for their music.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal, yeah.
The blessings you get because you play music and other people play music is insane.
Yep. Yep. Look at the experience we're having right here, man. Just fucking talking about music, man. It's getting better, man. It makes life bearable.
That's all
man.
It breaks down to. We're doing nothing but talking about music.
Yeah. And, like, that was one thing I still do, and I try to, like, tell my bandmates, I'm like, hey, it's fucking Friday night. Everyone just fucking had a shitty week. We're going to brighten some fucking moods, you know? We're going to give it all we have. We're going to kick ass. People are going to leave here with their faces melted and know that they had a great fucking time. Mm-hmm. And that was really important to me, you know, to have a high-energy show, you know?
Well, you guys accomplished that. That was a really good show.
Yeah,
I highly recommend.
Good.
Dude, that was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Do you always play with the band, or do you?
There's sometimes I'll go out and play a couple of shows, but once you play the band, you're just like, man,
it's hard not to.
And
then if you suck, you can't blame it on the drummer. Then you're like, no one else is.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, that's very true. If you're in a band and you suck, they let you know you suck very fast.
Yeah, right. But I see you play harmonica too, and I play a little bit, so to go out there and do some Bob Dylan stuff, you know, it's fucking cool too. Yeah,
I was actually jamming with the bar.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
G, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I was jamming with it in here listening to it, and I was playing the harmonica to it. It was a fun song to jam with, dude. It's a cool song. I really like that song too, man. Like the new project.
That's cool. Thank you.
I was wondering too, would you be up for playing us a song?
Yeah, man.
Cool, no rush right now. Thank you guys for coming to Outlaws After Dark. We got Matt Gage. Shows that you got coming up one more time.
It's going to be in July. I don't know the venues just yet, but there ain't nothing till July.
Okay.
But keep posted.
Follow him on Instagram. Is it Matt W. Gage?
Matt W. Gage.
Hell yeah, man. Check out his new project, the 1-4-5 Sessions. Mm-hmm. Apparently, recorded with some pretty badass folks.
badasses of folks, quite frankly.
All right, guys, thank you so much. What song are you going to play, do you know?
I will figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. You'll find out when it gets
We're playing, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, sure. Maybe we'll just write one out.
There we go. See you guys later.
I fought a lot of nights, and you ain't nothing like me. 'Cause I've been called John Wayne, and I got Jimmy Man.